Good evening, everyone. My name is Jeffrey Combs, and I am the president and founder of Golden Mastermind Seminars Incorporated, and I am absolutely proud and privileged to be able to host this call this evening, this Tuesday night More Heart Than Talent Mindset Call. I absolutely have the distinct privilege of introducing you to one of the most exceptional human beings I've ever had the privilege of collaborating, connecting, coaching, and personally mentoring in my 18-plus year career. The woman I'm going to introduce to you tonight is the one and only Susan Sly. Susan is one of the most exceptional human beings I've ever had the privilege of meeting, and Susan is in the bullpen warming up. How are you this evening, Susan?
I am outstanding, Jeffrey. Thank you. And it's so great to be here. And I heard people calling in from Nebraska and New Jersey and Ontario and Ohio. And it's just awesome, everything you're doing, Jeffrey, to bring such a global community together. I'm so excited.
Thank you. Well, I'm going to cover just a few quick announcements, Susan, and we're going to get this call in action because I know you have an outstanding call planned for this evening on how to really organize your life, organize your world, and organize your enterprise. If you're on the first call, if you're on the first time caller this evening, I want to welcome you to this call. My name is Jeffrey Combs. I host this call each and every Tuesday night at 10:30 Eastern Standard Time. I record this call, and it is available for playback on podcast tomorrow by 9 o'clock Pacific Standard Time, 12 o'clock Eastern, at calls.goldenmastermind.com. That's calls, C-A-L-L-S, dot goldenmastermind.com. And any time that Susan is on the call, we always break our records for downloads the following day. It's not uncommon to have over 2,000 to 3,000 downloads of Susan's calls. So if you're on this call, make sure that you share this call with your teammates all across the United States, Canada, and the world, because the content you're going to hear absolutely, unequivocally will be life-changing. These are going to be a few of the cities that I will be speaking in the next few weeks. This next Saturday, not this Saturday, Saturday, September 20th, I will be in Orlando, Florida. September 27th, I will be in Weehawken, New Jersey. Both of those events, I will be sharing the stage with one of the most exceptional entrepreneurs I've ever had the privilege of collaborating, coaching, and mentoring with, Alexis Romano and her team. On October 4th, I will be in Greenville, South Carolina with Jennifer Trinkner, Bridget Bartley, and Casey Fluff, three exceptional multiple six-figure income earners. On Saturday, October 4th, Denver 18th, a generic event in Denver, Colorado. October 25th, Buffalo, New York, and a lot of Susan's team, Carrie Rise, who's an exceptional woman, is hosting that event for me, as she does annually. November 1st, I'll be in Boston, Massachusetts. November 15th, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. I just added Los Angeles to the schedule, November 22nd. I'll be in Long Island, New York on December 6th. I want to thank Joy Schoenholtz for stepping to the plate, along with Kelly Bartoletti for bringing me to Long Island for the first time ever. And Saturday, December 20th, I will be in Phoenix, Arizona. And there's a possibility we may have a surprise guest drop in to that event. And if you are on this call tonight and you'd like to take advantage of some of my downloaded content, some of my original CD audio programs, I put together a package of four of my best audio compilations. It's a little over 20-plus hours of content, including some of my best CDs. It's called the Golden Mastermind Library. Now, you may purchase that at www.goldenmastermind.com Digital Library. It's a $497 value. You may purchase that for $197. If you're seeking to coach or mentor with me, I routinely have a 12 to a 14-week waiting list for my coaching services. All of my coaching is done specifically and individually by me and me only. I do not farm my coaching clients out to people, to any coaching services. All coaching is done specifically by me. And if you're serious about finding out more about my coaching, you can contact me at 209-932-0227. Also, I want to announce that next Tuesday night, Crystal Lowry, one of the most exceptional personal trainers and success coaches when it comes to women's fitness, women's sculpting, women's health, and also a personal coach will be my guest on the call. That will be Tuesday, September 16th. Crystal is also a student of Susan's and a top-tier professional performer who has won many, many awards and shared the stage as one of the top female performers in the fitness industry. She will be my guest. I'll also be having Brad Mossman, someone who's really pioneering CDB hemp oil, who is just an exceptional, inspirational story. Brad's going to be on my call before the end of the year. And with that, we're going to move into the inspirational portion of tonight's call. It is with great privilege that I get the honor to introduce to you one of the most exceptional human beings I've ever had the privilege of collaborating, coaching, sharing multiple stages, speaking at many events. And I am proud to say Susan Sly, my guest on tonight's call, is one of the top income earners in all of the network marketing and direct sales. Susan brings over 20 years of direct sales experience. She's also an Olympic quality former professional athlete. She is a mother of four, a published author, one of the top income earners in her company, a multiple six- and seven-figure income earner in the network marketing and direct sales industry for over 10-plus years. She shared the stage with some of the top speakers in the world, people like Jim Rohn, Mark Victor Hansen, John Assaraf. She's been on some of the top television programs in the United States and unequivocally a world-class human being. She's a humanitarian and devotes much of her time to building villages and assisting the underprivileged around the globe with her own absolute heart. She is one of the most exceptional women I've ever had the privilege of being able to be friends with. Not only a world-class woman, but a world-class friend. And I hope every one of you on tonight's call have the opportunity to have a friend as loyal as Susan is. Susan, great to have you on tonight's call.
Well, thank you so much, Jeffrey. And I would just say to everyone, if you have the opportunity to see Jeff speak live, I mean, it's fantastic. You guys are on this call. You're listening to podcasts all over the world. You want to be there in front of him. His energy in the room is absolutely incredible. Thank you, Jeffrey, for the beautiful introduction. You know, I was sitting here prepping for the call tonight, and it's always my intent when we do this to have people leave with some real salient tips in terms of what they can do to just crush it the remaining 112 days of 2014. And so I know we're going to be talking about organization. We're going to talk about why entrepreneurs get stuck. I did post the question on Facebook, and I said, look, if you have one question that Jeffrey and I could answer, what would it be? We've had 10 people post so far. If you want a question answered, we are not going to be opening up the calls, but you can go ahead, go to Facebook on Susan Sly Live, follow the thread, post your question. If there's time, we will get to it. But, Jeff, we have some great questions there from some of the people who follow your work, and I'm so excited.
You know, Susan, you are, like I said, you are just one of the most classiest women I've ever met, classiest human beings I've ever met, but you're also, along with that, one of the most exceptional entrepreneurs I've ever had the privilege of meeting. You own multiple businesses, you own four children, you have a world-class husband in Chris Archivelt, who I've had the privilege of speaking with and coaching and being great friends with. But what you really do is you really bring organization to a level that very few people know how to teach it, live it. And you have a very simple system on how to be and stay organized. Now, anyone can get organized, but what your real niche is teaching how to stay organized. Can you share a little bit about why most people aren't organized and some of your key niches to bring people to that state?
Absolutely. You know, I think, Jeffrey, a lot of people inherently have the desire to build a business. And USA Today, they did a poll and asked Americans, how many of you would like to own your own business? 70% of people said yes, but get this, less than 7% actually do it. And the 93% work for the 7% in America and Canada, Australia, all over the world. And why is that? The average person is not organized enough to start their own business, let alone run and maintain their own business. And the average person out there is walking around and they're in chaos. And external chaos is a reflection of internal chaos and vice versa. I remember you saying at once that you could tell everything about a person if you looked inside their car, right? Let's talk about that.
You know, Susan, I travel like you do around the world. I sit in first class every time I fly, and I pay attention to who sits next to me, across from me, in front of me, and I watch how much chaos they bring just putting their bag overhead, how much chaos they bring, and they put in the seat pocket on the seat from behind them. And I can usually tell when someone has the newspaper, it's going to be all over the floor. Isn't it amazing how much chaos bring just into the airplane?
It's incredible. We travel with our kids extensively, and I recall one time we were flying business class to Asia. It was actually this year in January, and business class passengers, they're looking like, oh my gosh, here she comes, and she's got all these kids. My youngest child is 4 at the time. And my children travel like a little military troop, honestly. And it organization for anything starts before the actual action takes place. So my kids have to pack their own snack bag. If they don't pack a bag, they don't have a snack. And you're like, oh, it's a 16-hour flight. Yeah, you only forget to do it once. No, they all do it. All the little bags are labeled. They're only allowed to bring what they can physically bring in the roller bag. They have a suitcase, for going to Asia or something. But, it starts with that. And the biggest thing I want to say to everyone is that I know you're talented. I know you know what to do, right? It's obvious. I heard two guys talking, just coming into the call, and they were talking about, did you buy your convention tickets? It's buy two, get one free. We know we need to go to events. We know we need to prospect, to follow up and everything. You know what you need to do, but you're not doing it. And as a result, it's costing you. Your kids aren't going to the schools they need to go to. Your relationships are probably struggling. You could be unhealthy in your body. Maybe you're carrying too much weight. Maybe you're anemic. You've got stuff going on. And if you think you're the only one who is being affected by your chaos, you're absolutely not. And Jeff does an amazing job in the procrastination cure because he's talking about the different personalities and talking about, drama Zula, the one who travels, like you say, with all the chaos, bring people into their chaos. And the root cause, you're a master at psychology. When we look at some of the root causes of why people do what they do, it really comes down to addiction. And do you why don't we talk about that? Because I know the last time I was here, we did a lot of work on addiction, and we had such great feedback. But let's just take a moment and talk about how we can become addicted to pain and addicted to chaos. And
I'm so sorry. Can you speak up just a little, Susan?
Yeah, absolutely. And I said, Jeffrey, why don't we talk about why people become addicted to chaos?
Well, the reason you and I both know this is that it becomes a neurological condition that is a behavior. Addictions are not hereditary, and there's no genetic link to an addiction. Addictions are about the events, but most importantly, as the great Tony Robbins says in Chapter 4 in Awaken the Giant Within, it's not so much the event, it's the perception of the event. It's how you filter, how you hold an event, how you keep doing the same thing over and over. So typically what happens is we become addicted to a set of feelings that becomes a mood and then an identity, and then we recreate the same situation over and over to fulfill a biochemical craving we become addicted to. Hence the term addicted to our emotions. And that's unfortunately what happens to so many people. And the key link to organization, why so many people get addicted is they in their organization patterns is they either rebel against being organized or they're so overwhelmed they can't organize, and no one teaches it better like you do, Susan.
Well, thank you so much, Jeffrey. And here's the thing, you may be saying, well, Susan, you're already a millionaire. What do you really know about this? And, it is a learned thing. I used to be a chaos addict. And when I was a chaos addict, I did things. And see if you relate to any of this. My health started going downhill, and instead of actually dealing with it, I just kept telling myself, you'll be fine, you'll be fine, you'll push through. That was, great until I ended up getting diagnosed with multiple sclerosis at the age of 27 in January of 2000. That was great until I lost a business. That was great until my marriage fell apart. That was great until I ended up homeless, living on my brother-in-law's sofa. Why? I was addicted to pain. I was addicted to chaos. I was so disorganized. People asked me to do something, I'd be like, yes, yes, yes. I was a yes-aholic. And the problem with that, especially for women, is you end up secreting a lot of a hormone called cortisol. You end up in overwhelm. You can't sleep. You usually wake up between 2 and 4 in the morning. You crave sugar. You crave carbohydrates. And you end up gaining weight. You feel lethargic. You get depressed. All of that happened to me. And I had a huge wake-up call when I lost everything. And I realized after I had a lot of blame, a lot of anger, I looked in the mirror and I said, you know what? It's meant to be you. And you've got to smarten up, Susan, and you've got to create different habits. You see, our habits are what are dictating our results. And here we are, September of 2014, 112 days left in the year. And you have a decision to make. Are you going to make those days count? Are you going to be organized? Are you going to have six or seven figure habits? Jim Rohn used to say, and Jeffrey, you know, had greatly, you know, introduced me to Jim. And Jim was an amazing, amazing teacher. Jim used to say, if you want to make $1 million a year, you need to have $1 million habits. And when I heard him say that, I realized I didn't have $1 million habits and I needed to become more organized. See, organization isn't something you're born with. It comes down to a decision. And right now, tonight, in this moment, listening to this, you've got to make the decision. That's the first and foremost step. And it has to be visceral. It has to be within your soul. You have to get to the place where you say enough is enough. You see, in your enterprise, you're going to want to quit. If you don't physically want to quit at one point, then guess what? You're not testing yourself. And if you're not testing yourself, you're not stretching and growing. If you're not stretching and growing, you're going to continue to get the same results you've always gotten. Jeffrey at one point quit. He threw out everything. He threw out all his Jim Rohn cassettes, and he said, forget this. And he went back to the dumpster the next day because he knew it was in his soul. You see, once you get to the place like Jeffrey talks about being psychologically unemployable, you only have one choice, and it's to produce. And a lot of you, God bless you, I love you, I've been there, have family members, have friends watching you struggle in your enterprise because you're not organized enough to create the results. And one day you're doing it, and one day you're not. One day you've got your toe in the water, and one day you don't. And then you say, you know what, this is going to be the day, and I'm going to prospect today. And then you go and you make three calls, and no one's there, and you're like, I'll just go watch Dancing with the Stars. Well, guess what? Chances are you're sending confusing messages out to the world. And if you want to be successful, and I want you to be successful, you've got to become more organized, and that's the bottom line.
That is absolutely correct, Susan. You know, it's interesting. You mentioned threw away my cassettes. That was funny. It wasn't funny then, but it's funny now. A lot of the cassettes I threw away were Tom Big Al Schreider. I was in his organization in a company called Nutrition for Life with my good friend at the time, Jerry Clark. And we went in there with a bang and went out with a dud. I mean, I ended up waiting tables, and it was just so poetic. I went from at one point in the industry making $15,000 a month in 1992 to making nothing in 1993 and 4. I mean, I absolutely had a donut for the year 1994, and I actually had put my dream on hold and went back and was selling wholesale food and attempting very marginally to resurrect myself in the phone card business. Remember the phone cards in network marketing and direct sales in 94, 5, and 6?
Yeah.
I mean, that's when long distance was like breaking through, and Excel was like had these new rates of 14.9 cents a minute. And I'm like, oh my God. That's back when I used to have phone bills of $2,000 to $3,000 a month. And I was just struggling in the industry. I had a little brush with fame for about 2 years, and I ended up destitute. You know, you bring up a lot of great points about organization. You know, some people grow up in organized homes, and some people grow up in disorganized homes, but the home you grow up in doesn't mean you're going to be organized or unorganized. It's really all a decision. My parents had organized chaos, but I was always organized. I was extremely organized, and organization has always been a real niche and a skill for me. And here's something I tell people, and you know this, Susan, that as many businesses as you own, and you have four children, a loving husband, and then you contribute to many places in the world with your charities, money has many moving parts, and success has many moving parts. You can't succeed in an overwhelmed, disorganized state. I know you can touch on that. What's your input on that?
Absolutely. And you know, it's interesting because there's a scripture that says, to he who has been given, more shall be given. And what it means is, if you don't take care of what you have, you're not going to get any more, right? That's the bottom line. And, in order to be wealthy, you have to be a steward of your wealth, and you hear that, you know, you have to take care of the pennies if you want the dollars to flow, right? So when we're looking at being organized, I grew up in a home where, firstly, my mother was in chaos. She was an addict. She was an alcoholic. There was no organization there whatsoever. Then I went to live with my dad. My dad had a lot of chaos, but the good habits that he did have, he never missed a track meet. He always took me to, you know, girl guides and all that other stuff. It was great. But it was my grandmother who had these million-dollar habits, and she was a millionaire. And she woke up at 5 in the morning every day. She took a 15-minute nap every afternoon, Jeffrey. She was very diligent. She looked at the books every morning. She was very, very focused. And, you know, I adopted a lot of her habits. But you know what? I'm going to tell you, I rebelled against organization. And some of you out there are rebelling against it. You don't want to keep a schedule. You don't want to use a notebook. You don't want to have a planner of any sort. And you know what? Guess what? You're teaching your people that are in your life that you are not reliable. I don't think that's your intent, but at some level, you have deserve and receiving issues. If you're not willing to show up and be, you know, in that place where you know people would pay you to show up, then you feel like you don't deserve. You don't deserve to be successful. You don't deserve to be abundant. And just a few little habits could really turn it around for you. And the other thing I want to say is that chaos leaves clues, right? So if you are out of integrity in one area of your life, you're out of integrity in all areas of your life. Jeffrey exercises every morning. If I call him at 4 in the morning, he is working out in his home gym. When he has a coaching client, he is there precisely on time. I have done numerous events with Jeffrey. If, you know, we're doing an event, it's going to be at a certain time. We're going to do it in a certain way because Jeffrey is highly organized. Jeffrey has always been a very good steward of his money, and that's why he continues to prosper. And if Jeffrey can do it, and I can do it, two people who have struggled with chaos, then you can do it too.
Susan, you're absolutely correct. I coach 13 hours a day and did a three-way call with the top-tier network marketer this evening with one of our teammates. I mean, that's winners get it done and whiners find a way to continue to stay a victim. And you and I are both recovering victims. I mean, your stories are very parallel. My grandfather also is a millionaire. I learned my millionaire habits from him and my next-door neighbor, a gentleman named Harold Martin. Harold Martin was a multimillionaire farmer like Sam Walton, and he owned interest in a hospital and a bank in Omaha, Nebraska. And I've never even told you this, but at 16 years old, I was his chauffeur. I used to drive him in a yellow Lincoln Continental to and from Omaha, Nebraska, 60 miles, and I was 16 and 17 years old with another friend of mine. And I learned my millionaire habits from him and my grandfather. And I was an addict for 14 years, but even in my addiction, Susan, I was organized. And it sounds like a contradiction, but even in that, I've always been organized. Organization is a habit and it's a mindset. And if it's not a habit and it's a mindset, then it's a disorganized chaos that most people live in. And you know, one of the main reasons that people aren't organized is they say they're addicted to their overwhelmed feelings, and then they may have a story about being organized. They make it so big they can't start. Share with them a little bit about some of the key skills, just the basic starting points, the building blocks of organization, Susan.
Absolutely. And you know, Jeffrey, these are some points that people may have heard before, but just because you've heard them, it doesn't mean you're actually doing them.
Or living them.
Yeah, exactly. And so the things that I'm sharing tonight are things I do myself. They're very, very basic, but they will give you results. There's no question. So the first thing is going back to this decision. I want you to tap yourself on the chest right now and say, I make the decision. I deserve to be organized. My family deserves for me to be organized. I have 4 children naturally born, as Jeffrey mentioned, plus I have a daughter, Margaret, who's currently going to college in Africa. I am paying 4 private school tuitions and 1 college tuition. Five kids who need me, from ranging in age from 5 to 20. And, you know, I have to be organized. We run, as Jeffrey mentioned, multiple businesses. I invest in the stock market. I'm looking at different real estate options. We have our network marketing business. I have my company. You know, the list goes on and on and on. And, you know, the other night, Jeffrey, I had one of my kids came home. She had 4 hours of homework. So I have to be organized. We have a team of 200,000 people. You know, I've got to be organized. And it's a decision. And it's not a one-time decision, my friends. It's a, like, everyday decision. It's an every-hour decision. And, yeah, sometimes it'd be so easy to go, oh, you know what, I don't want to do that homework with the kids, or I don't want to make those calls, or I don't want to follow up, or whatever. But it's a decision. And just reminding yourself, I am organized. I am organized. I decide. I choose it. You can choose chaos, or you can choose organization. The second thing is, ask yourself, who am I letting down beside me by not achieving my goals? Because you are letting people down if you're not organized. You know, maybe you're not as healthy as you could be, and you go to hug your partner and your belly is in the way, or you don't feel good about yourself. And girls, you know, I was a holistic nutritionist for years. I'm going to be perfectly honest, and this could be another call. Your hormones are so whacked out because you're in such chaos. You have no libido. You have no desire. Your partner is looking at you, shaking their head. You're so confusing. You don't have energy for your kids. And I know who you are listening right now. Why? Because you're in chaos. Why? Because you're not organized, right? And you're letting other people down. Trust me, even for myself, when I was in chaos, Chris would look at the phone bills. I would call Cutting Edge Media Leads. My phone bills were $800 a month. He was looking at me because I had a hobby business, and he was like, you're crazy. And then he got to the point, he was like, choose me or choose network marketing. I'm like, I'm a have it all woman. I choose both, thank God. But here's the thing. I was letting so many people down because I wasn't organized enough to make my calls and be disciplined and stop telling myself stories and to just do the things that actually made sense in the business. The third thing is, take 100% responsibility about being organized. And you know, it's up to you. And I know so many of you, when I travel and I do events, and I don't care what company you're in, I'm an ambassador of the industry. You need to bloom where you're planted. I'm going to tell you, I meet many of you, and you're going like this. I'm in the wrong upline, you know, my upline doesn't do calls with me, or, you know, everyone else is succeeding, or blah, 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 blah. Well, guess what? When you are jealous of someone else's success, you will never have what they have. When you are in contempt of someone who is achieving at a level you want to achieve at, you will never have it, right? So it's part of this piece is knowing that if you want to have what someone else has, then chances are they're out-habiting you, my friends, and that's what's going on. And, you know, they made more calls than you did. They helped more people get paid than you did. So instead of judging them, you need to get honest and take that responsibility. The next thing is to keep an activity notebook. This is point number 4. You know, and there's a whole bunch of reasons for this, but one of the main ones is, according to the IRS and CRA, Revenue Canada, in order to take full-time deductions, and chances are about 80% of you are not taking full business deductions for your enterprise because you're not organized, you're not saving your receipts, you're not charting it, you have to prove you're doing 45 minutes a day, 5 days a week. And this is the kind of stuff I teach in my course, right? So what happens is, you are having a play enterprise, you're not taking these deductions because you're not writing things down. And 80% of small business owners get audited. Jeffrey's been audited. I have been audited. But Jeffrey and I keep meticulous notes. So guess what? We're an auditor's dream, because they come in and go, oh, you guys have notebooks. You have all these notes. We know what you've been doing. It's all well and good, right? So in your activity notebook, you're writing down the night before. What is it you're going to do? Who are you going to call? You make the calls that make you the most money first. Set aside hours of operation and get buy-in from your family. You see, you teach the world how to treat you. This is what I teach my students. And so if you don't have hours of operation, your family is confused. You've got, you know, kids hanging all over you going, Daddy, Mommy, come play with me, as opposed to them knowing this is Mommy and Daddy in production mode, or your spouse knowing that you are in production mode. So being very clear, so I have hours of operation. If I'm doing something outside of those hours of operation, the kids know, and they know why I'm doing it. They're very clear. You see, I don't show up to do anything outside of my hours of operation unless I'm going to contribute. So I'm here with all of you with the express intent that you're going to take something from this tonight and apply it in your business. And then you're going to post and go, thank you, Susan. I took that to heart and I did it and it yielded results, right? That's why. You've got to be succinct. The next one is that decide you are the CEO of your enterprise. You see, the CEO doesn't run around getting everyone coffee. The CEO doesn't go in the back office and change everyone's auto ships for them. The CEO doesn't, you know, hold people's hands and sing kumbaya. The CEO acts like a CEO. The CEO is there to generate business. The CEO is there to set targets and to set the goals. The CEO there is there to bring on talent. That's what you need to be doing. And chances are you're not valuing your time. You see, I read recently that we spend about 28,000 days in this planet. That's it, 28,000 days. And if you're not behaving like the CEO and you're running around saying yes to everyone, then guess what? You're wasting days and you don't have days to waste. The next one, point number 7, is create a dedicated workspace. My first workspace, when I first heard Jeffrey on a call, it was a Thursday night call, I was in a closet. I had a closet in my living room. And you know what, guys? It doesn't matter if it's a closet. It doesn't matter if it's a corner of your bedroom. You need a place that when you sit down, you're like Captain Kirk at the helm of the enterprise, and you're like, yes. You know, ignition, let's go. You know, let's, you know, run this suit, Mr. Sulu, right? So that's for you too. You need that space to produce, and it has to be organized. When I go to bed at night, my desk is perfectly clean. When I come to sit down in the morning, I'm like, I just can't wait to start producing because it's clean. My notebook is ready. I know what I'm doing. I'm not second guessing it. Next is you need to use a paper planner to back up your computer. I had a friend who was in my organization, and she ended up getting audited. And I had said to her for years, paper planner, paper planner. Well, she didn't do it. And when they came to audit her, they took her computer. And guess what? Jeffrey, you know what happened when they took her computer? She felt like she had lost a limb because everything was in there. You see, you have a choice when you get audited. If you have everything backed up on paper, they're going to take the paper. But if you don't, they're going to take your computer. Next is identify your income-producing activities, and this is going to change as your income in your business grows. So Jeffrey and I have friends who, like myself, make 7 figures. That's a great place to be. So they're spending about 80% of their income time developing their paychecks and about 20% of the time personally prospecting people like Alexis and Tara Romano, as an example. Now, the thing is, when you're first starting, you need to spend 80% of your time personally prospecting and 20% of your time developing paychecks, right? So you have to take a look and see where you're at now. And you respond to the voicemails that are going to make you the most money first. People hardly voicemail anymore. They text. Respond to the texts that are going to make you the most money first. Respond to the emails that are going to make you the most money first. Number 10 is that, you know, if you are a person who's fundamentally disorganized, this is my last point in this, Jeffrey, that you're going to have to resist your nature. And so what that means is, and, you know, when you do any training with me, and I've been an educator for years, even before network marketing, I was a college professor. I put myself through college actually teaching preschool, teaching fitness. So I've been teaching people for over 2 decades, and I love to teach. And in my course, I actually go through 6 different chaos personality types when it comes to organization. And one of the things I teach you, I'll give you guys a little gift, is this is the technique. So you recognize that you're doing something that is not going to produce results, and you resist it. You resist it. So you know, okay, great, I really just want to go watch Grey's Anatomy and drink Merlot as opposed to making calls. I'm going to resist it. Then allow yourself to feel the pain. You know, they do this in AA. Allow yourself to feel the pain of resisting it, and then say to yourself, what can I gain by resisting my nature in this moment right now? And think of all the things you can gain. And then you go for it and you watch what happens. Time and time again, my students, they'll, you know, get in my last class, I had one guy enroll 10 people in a day. He hadn't done that ever in his whole career. You know, I had another person, they had record income week and everything because they resisted their nature. And that's part of this. And so, Jeffrey, my final message with these tips for everyone is to say, you know what, wherever you're at right now, stop feeling bad, stop feeling guilty, stop feeling overwhelmed, and just take a step. Take a step and a stand for yourself. Make a decision to get more organized, produce, stop letting people down, and you know what? By this time next year, your life could be entirely different.
Susan, that was fantastic. And, you know, so much of organization is a 90-day game plan. And there's a lot of emphasis in today's world in the 90-day game plan. Well, a 90-day game plan starts with today. And what today really means what I do daily. Also, what you don't do daily is what compounds. Now, Susan, I grew up in the restaurant industry, and I ended up waiting tables in 5-star restaurants, French service. One of my best friends, Michael Garoza, whose picture's right here on the wall, the Godfather. Michael owns 5 restaurants in Kansas City. Michael is the Godfather. He speaks like the Godfather, and he and I learned from another millionaire restaurateur, one of our mentors, the great Victor Fontana. When you walk through the dining room, pick everything up you can possibly pick up at one time. And that is all. That philosophy became a reality. That means do everything you can right now. That's what so many people do is they do this, avoid. Now, the term procrastination in Latin means to avoid. And, Susan, don't you see so many people procrastinating, avoiding the inevitable, and then they operate on this syndrome, pleasure for pain. They wait till the last minute, and then they create this adrenaline that's a steroid that becomes cortisol, and they get that dopamine high that drops into a cortisol low after waiting the last minute, creating this fight-or-flight situation. What advice do you have for people on tonight's call who are last-minute addicted over-obligators? That was a good one, wasn't it? Susan, I got to tell you this. In 12 years of knowing you, you've never pulled out the libido card. That was really classy.
Thank you. Well, And it's my hope that, especially for the women and some of the guys, you're there elbowing your woman or your partner, whoever, you know, and it's so true, right? And it's the thing women don't talk about, and that's the conversation that I want to start, you know, is just to say this chaos is affecting you in so many ways. For people who are addicted to pain, here's the thing. I want everyone to imagine that you committed with yourself for the next 90 days that you would make 3 connections a day, no matter what, no matter what. And at the end of that 90 days, you made those 3 connections every day. You made 270 connections. And let's say 90% of the people said no to you, you'd have 27 new teammates before the end of the year. And I call this the dream team of 2015. So these are the people who are on stages at your company events, and you're seeing the audience, you're clapping, you're cheering, you're, you know, taking the photos, you're crying, because they're the ones who came. They're thanking you. They're on stage going, thank you for changing my life. Thank you. I'm making my car payment, my house payment, because you had the courage to just get into action. And, you know, everyone write this down, post it, tweet it, do whatever you want. Action neutralizes negative emotions. If you have enough time to be complaining and texting your upline and saying how hard this is and complaining to everyone, you have time to build a business. And if you keep going the next 5 years the way you've been going the last 5 years, where are you going to be in 5 years? And if the answer to that is not good, something has got to change. My mission, Jeffrey, in life is to teach people how to become organized so they can be better stewards of this planet. And that means their family, their community, the entire world. And that's what I'm going to do until my last dying breath. And I wrote my article of the week. It's coming out Thursday. And it's about, I met Joan Rivers a couple of years ago. That woman was so organized. And even in her death, with her living will, her daughter, 2 days, took Joan off life support because Joan had a living will. She was organized even post-mortem, Jeffrey.
That is fantastic, and that doesn't surprise me one bit, because she was in organization really breaks down to this detailed. But if you're not detail conscious, then that means you avoid details to rebel. And if you continue to rebel, then what you're really rebelling against is your own success. Susan, I live in a beautiful area of Northern California. I live in a dog walking area where many of the homes that are in my area are 60, 70, 80-year-old homes. They're white stucco homes, red tile roof. And even this great area I live in, it amazes me. I'm taking walks in my neighborhood, and I see many people, they can't get their cars in their garage. The reason being is their garage has now become their storage compartment because they have so much stuff. And that's unfortunately what so many people do. I can't throw it out because I might require it. This is an identity for many people. So that means you're holding on to that which does not serve you. One of my exercises I suggest people do is take a 33-gallon plastic bag in each hand, and in a 15-minute period, throw away everything you do not require. Be willing and have the courage to let go of all this stuff, this junk, this overwhelmed stuff. The Red Book recipes from 1979 that have cheesecake that you're never going to eat, throw it away. Those things that you continue to hold on to, those family heirlooms, some of them, oh, I can't throw away the children's toys because, oh, they're such precious memories. True, they are memories. Take pictures of them. Pictures can be condensed and they're a lot smaller. Now you can have them online. It's amazing what you can do with phone cameras. I mean, they have memories. And so, Susan, you've just absolutely lit it up here tonight. Now, as you said, we have 112 days left. There are people on tonight's call. They want to rank advance. They want to be six-figure income earners. They have their national conventions coming up before Christmas, after Christmas, the first quarter of 2014-15. And why do so many people, Susan, tiptoe quietly through life and die with the pain of regret? I know that sounds like an interesting question, but I want to hear your perspective. Why do so many people die with unrealized potential?
Because they were unwilling to get uncomfortable.
And so staying in their overwhelmed state is their comfortable zone, would you agree?
Exactly. If you're comfortable with chaos, you will always be in chaos. But here's the interesting thing, Jeffrey, and I'm sure you saw this. There was a nurse in the UK, and she treated terminally ill people for over a decade. And she recorded everyone's last regrets. And the last regrets were things like, I wish I had taken more risks. I wish I had spent more time with family and friends. I wish I had gone for my dreams. They weren't going, gosh, I wish I had watched Dancing with the Stars. I wish I knew the name of every bachelor. I couldn't name one, to be honest. I don't get paid to watch that. So, you know, these regrets. And, you know, Jeffrey, you and I have lost friends who are in their 30s, in their 40s, in their 50s, really young people who died. They left, you know, their families, and they were pursuing their dreams, but they weren't organized enough to really live this balanced life. And you know what? It's very, very sad. I don't want anyone to ever live a life of regret. You know, God forbid, if I checked out tonight, right now, after this call, I would look up at the light, and I'd be like, thank you, God. It was an amazing ride, you know. And the other thing is, and I'm organized. I have a will. Over 50% of Americans don't have a will. 75% don't have a living will. I have all those things. You know, if something happens to me, Chris knows exactly what my plans are. You know, all of it. And people just don't think about these things. And when I teach people how to become organized, the first class they have to take is called the fundamentals. And we get your office organized, we get your business organized, but then we organize your relationships. And people send me notes and they're like, oh my gosh, my family is happier. I think you saved my marriage. We organize your money in 1 week. We organize your technology. And people get organized in all areas of their life. And Jeffrey, I love it. I don't have to teach it. I don't even have to do it for the money. I make great money in the industry of network marketing, my other businesses, but I do it because I love to see what comes out on the other side. You don't have to coach all the people you coach, my gosh, you know, but I know you. You love to see what happens to people on the other end, and that's so powerful.
Susan, so many people live in this term, organized chaos. It's their identity. It's, like I said, they wait till the last minute. They live in organized chaos. Here's a common chaos term. Here's a common disorganized term. My desk is a mess, but I know where everything is. How many times have you heard that, Susan?
I would say, yeah, right. No, you don't. And here's the other thing. In my class, Jeffrey, we do this worst case scenario. So if, God forbid, something happened to a loved one who lived in your house and you needed time to mourn, do you have everything written out so someone could just come in and take over, cancel your appointment, call the people that need to be called, and, you know, all of those things? And actually, it happened to one of my students where her son, her little boy, passed, and it was before the course. But she said, you know, Susan, because I was organized, you know, my sister-in-law could come in, and I could just grieve for months and months and months, and she needed to do that, if people can only imagine. And you may know where everything is, but I can tell you, probably A, you don't, and B, no one else does. And if no one else does, if they don't know who you bank with, if they don't know who your attorney is, if they don't know where your passcodes are, then guess what? You're disorganized, and you're just inviting, you're this magnet for something to happen to you.
Susan, one of the biggest challenges in being disorganized that I've coached, now I've coached over 50,000 plus hours, that's five times the 10,000 hour habit, over 9,000 clients, and you and Alexis were two of the most exceptional people I've ever coached, and it's interesting that both of you are very, very organized. Now, here's what happens when people aren't organized. They typically do what's unimportant, and they leave the most important to last. So in network marketing and direct sales, the number one fundamental revenue-generating productivity that is going to compensate you immediately is prospecting. Yet that is typically the fundamental that is put off till the last, until I absolutely have to, because of the perceived pain. So if you're disorganized, a large percent of it's because you're overwhelmed and you perceive it to be painful to get structured. And structure and discipline, the word discipline does not a pain word. Discipline means disciple of. There's two versions of discipline. I'm going to discipline you, or I'm extremely disciplined. So if you perceive discipline to be painful, your left brain, egoic, analytical mind will do everything in its power to solve the problem by avoiding the pain. And that's what procrastination is about, avoidance. Your niche is organization. My niche is procrastination, along with about 37 other niches that each one of us are really skilled at. But what most people don't understand is that if you're not organized, you're not prosperous. Would you agree?
Absolutely. The more chaotic someone is, I can pretty much point to the fact that they are in a huge amount of debt. There's no question.
Susan, I can find any piece of paper I require for the last 15 years. In about 40 minutes, I'm going to go down to my commercial building and enjoy the fruits of some of my labor. I own my own museum, but in my museum, I also have one room specifically dedicated to the last 12 years of taxes. Now, the IRS says keep 7 years. I typically have 12, and then I start throwing 1 year out. But I can find a piece of paper from 1998 when my good friend Daryl Snyder, who is on this call tonight, was one of my teammates, because I know where it is. It's in a black box. It's labeled 1998. It's over on the far left-hand side on a shelf, and it has manila folders, and I can find exactly how much income I created that year. I can show you. It's organized. If your money isn't organized, your money will not respond to you. And I see people like they pull out a wad of bills. They pull out the dead presidents, George Washington, Abraham Lincoln. And they have very few Ben Franklins because they're overwhelmed neurologically, emotionally. Money does not respond to organization, to disorganization. Money does not respond to chaos. Money responds to flow. And if you're not in flow, then there's a high probability you're unorganized, overwhelmed, in chaos, in drama, financially challenged, living in liability debt, paying money and paying interest on money that does not exist. Ah, the greatest Ponzi in the world, the Federal Reserve. I mean, most people don't understand that they get seduced into staying in this overwhelmed state, which is part of the whole system. Now, that's a whole other rabbit hole, would you agree, Susan?
Absolutely, Jeffrey. I'm doing a whole course series I'm taking on that exact topic, but we won't get into that.
Did I actually bring that up, Susan, on this call? Did
no,
I do that?
We're just going to just pretend that never happened. But let's talk about the, you know, money and chaos, because I want everyone to just take a moment and sit with this for a second and ask yourself, if you lost your income today, right now, how many months could you survive, like right now, and not be out on the street? a lot of you wouldn't even last 1 month. Some of you might last 2 months. Some might last three. But the reality is the magic number is at least 6 months. And if you're not there yet, you have to get organized. And you probably have a wallet full of credit cards. You're probably, you know, like Jeffrey said, really, you know, borrowing from one, paying credit card bills off with one credit card and so on. And you can turn that around. And how did Jeffrey and I know this? Because we were both there, right, Jeffrey? We know.
I was.
We've
I had the multiple six digits of credit card debt. Mm-hmm. And just like my – I have a friend on this line. I heard him dial in, Daryl Snyder. He was in that same place when I recruited him in 1997 on a three-way call, and I watched him build one of the top direct sales tools, a company called Prospect Planet, that became a multiple six-figure business. He overcame that. So you did it too. And unfortunately, what most people don't understand is they get addicted to debt. They become addicted debtors, and they buy compulsively in an overwhelmed state, shiny object syndrome, and all they do is pay interest on the debt they accrue, and they never live prosperously. So I'm like you, Susan. I could walk away from it today, and I have enough assets and enough money, liquid, that I wouldn't have to produce for a few years. Now I'm not going to do that because I accrue wealth and I accrue assets, and the 1/20th of 1% of the American Canadian populace, only 1/20th of 1% is a net worth of $1 million, and a lot of that is through real estate. Very few people ever pay off the real estate because all they do is they get caught in the debt cycle and they mismanage and move their debt around, staying overwhelmed and unorganized. They never have assets.
Hmm. And here's the bottom line, though. It's never too late, right? Jeff, how old were you when you hit rock bottom, when you drank the gallon of vodka and were on the stretcher? How old were you?
I was 31 years old when I got clean and sober. And, you know, Susan, at 37 years old, I still didn't own a piece of property. Now today, I have seven figures worth of assets. I'm about to pay off – I'm paying off my properties in 2014, one in 2015, which will give me well over $2 million worth of assets in real estate alone that I own outright, no mortgage.
And that's the power in that. You know,
well, it's like, the power of learning leverage. I had – I was, you know, here's something I see. I was not an overnight success in network marketing, neither you, but someone on tonight's call can achieve six figures in their first year in the right place at the right time in network marketing and direct sales. In my era, that just didn't happen because I grew up in a breakaway pay plan. There was no social media. Phone bills were $2,000 a month. My advertising bills were another $2,000 a month minimum. The overhead in network marketing in 1990, it's a completely different game. I'm watching 30-year-old superstars like C.G. Siddons achieve multiple five figures in a calendar year as she's been mentored by you and by Alexis Romano, and she's been to many of your trainings. I'm watching people that can come out of the gate and learn the skills and the habits in an organized state and be a six-figure income earner in 12 months. Aren't you seeing this happen in our industry now?
It's incredible. And, you know, we're seeing people who, you know, are making, you know, money and becoming profitable fast. And here's the thing. When I first started in the industry and Jeff first started, there was no Facebook, right? And you have to talk about purchasing leads. That's a whole other topic of conversation. Jeffrey remembers when I was running ads in USA Today, the Rob Report. I mean, I remember being on calls. It was like, you have to invest $2,000 a month in your business. Now we can say to people, you don't have to do that. Like, you need your mobile phone, you need your laptop, you know, and you just go. And more companies are becoming, you know, better in the virtual space. There are still some companies out there who haven't graduated yet, but most companies, it's like their videos are free to watch, and people can go so much faster. And that's the thing that I want to emphasize is that in today's day and age, you have to be even more organized because things move at a faster pace. And God love you if you're, you know, a baby boomer listening or beyond and you're not there yet. You haven't set up your Facebook profile or whatever you need to do, but you want to be successful in network marketing. You need Facebook. You need Skype. You need to text. And it's time to get into the age. If you're in Gen Y, if you're, you know, in that place where you're 18 to 35 right now, you've already got it. You know how to move at a fast pace, but I promise you, a lot of the people that I mentor in Gen Y, they're rebelling against being organized because it's like, oh, I've got to be free and I'm just going to put my appointments in my phone, but oh, I got drunk and my phone fell in the toilet. You've got to grow up a bit and you've got to adopt some skills. And I know 45-year-olds who are immature too. Everyone can get more organized. Everyone can pick up the pace. But right now, Jeffrey, you brought up the economy. We're in a cycle right now, if you look at what's happening globally, that, you know, we came out of the recession 2007, 2008, 2009. I knew the recession was going to start to happen. I've studied the markets. I've studied economics. And Chris and I were preparing for that, and we did well through the recession. If you guys think that was the last recession, you're solely mistaken. You know, we can talk about, you know, printing money and all that stuff. Jeff and I aren't going to get into that. But here's the reality. We will have another recession. Right now, economies are on an upswing around the world. But you could have a global crisis that could just wreck the whole economic system. You could have foreign investors suddenly pull a bunch of their investments out of America. You could have all sorts of things, you know, dollar collapse and everything. And so Jeffrey spoke about liquid assets. Well, the only way you're going to get them is if you're organized. And we are on an upswing right now, let's say for the next 3 or 4 years. And, you know, housing is good. Housing starts are good. Things are looking good. But you need to be working hard and saving money and getting out of debt so you can weather the next storm.
And the term is free of debt, Susan, not debt-free. Free of debt, because there's no hyphen in free of debt. It's connected by of, not a hyphen. Mm-hmm. The hyphen keeps people in debt, debt-free, and that's an unconscious symbol to keep perpetuating. Susan, I predict in the next 5 years the housing market is going to stay stable, but in about 5 years the stability in the housing market is going to change because the student loan debt is going to be catching up. Mm-hmm. The rate of the cost of college has absolutely quadrupled in the last 10 years in universities in America and Canada, and people are paying loan debt, the same loan debt that they are paying on their mortgage, and it's going to catch up in 5 years. So what I tell people, now's the time to be free of debt, own your property outright, create your first seven-figure income in 3 to 5 years, start to pay your assets where you own them, you're not paying money that interest on money that doesn't exist, and you learn to live free of debt and have money skills and people skills, and you'll be set for life when you do that.
Absolutely, and learn to negotiate. Everything is a negotiation. You know, recently we just moved, and we created enough income that we just sort of, you know, walked away from our house, and we said, okay, we're moving. And I didn't take anything. This is so funny, Jeffrey, the story. So it was a Thursday that we got everything, and we're like, okay, we're going. And I literally put my kids in my car, in my truck, on Tuesday, and we drove for 7 days all across, you know, the plains of America. We went through, you know, Ohio and Iowa and Nebraska and Colorado. I saw my cousin, you know, on and on and on. And we walk in to a house which I negotiated for, which, you know, we have a great, great opportunity. We live in a beautiful, beautiful part in the city of Phoenix. And I was able, my kids needed to go to the right schools. I have one who's really off the chart smart. My son, my sweet, sweet son, he has a learning challenge, so he has to go to a special school. Jeff, I had to pay $100,000 in tuitions, and I was just able to do it because I'm organized, because, you know, I learned to go out of chaos to a place of being responsible financially. And you may be listening and you may be saying, you know, you may be even jealous or whatever, but you know what? Jeffrey and I can teach you how to do that too, because that's what freedom is. freedom is the ability to provide for your family and to do the things you want to do and make the world a better place. If you can afford to do that and you can have your beautiful, you know, financial liquidity, then guess what? You don't have to be indentured to anyone, and you will feel free for the rest of your life. I promise you.
Susan, your call was absolutely stellar tonight. Your content was world class. Share with all the listeners on tonight's call. I know you put together an organizational offer. Please share with them what you have this evening.
For sure. I teach a course called Organize Your Life, and we guarantee results or you get your money back. It's the bottom line. I teach it myself, and the variations are phase one is the fundamentals. You've got to learn the fundamentals. And as I said, we do doing your will, finances, relationships, all of it. It's done 6 weeks, live webinar. We record them. You get homework. You are mentored in a private Facebook group. It's virtual. You do turn in homework, but people get results. And in fact, Jeffrey, get this, almost 50% of my students come back and do it again. They do it again, the exact same course, and, you know, it's phenomenal. If you've taken it before, we have an amazing offer for you to take it again. So that course is regularly $500, and it is a tax write-off. You work with your CPA to deduct it. But for tonight, if you go on to SusanSly.com or you go on to my Facebook fan page, there's a hyperlink. You can get it for $247. It starts next Wednesday. We teach a daytime class, and it's at noon Eastern Standard Time, 9 a.m. Pacific. So then I don't teach another one for the end of the year. This is it. This is the last one I am doing this year. And, you know, the question that I have for everyone is, if not this, then what? If you know you're in chaos, if you know you're overwhelmed, if you know you're not getting results, you know, what's going to change unless you make a change? And this is what I love to do. It is a passion. As I mentioned, I've been an educator for years and years and years. I don't do it because I have to. I do it because I love it. So I would encourage you to go to SusanSly.com, click on Organize Your Life, or go on Facebook, Susan Sly Live, click the hyperlink, get registered. We are almost at capacity for the class, so go ahead and do that tonight. You are absolutely going to love it.
Thank you very much, Susan. I appreciate you being on tonight's call. You are a fantastic speaker, a world-class human being, and my best friend. For everyone on tonight's call, once again, that is Susan Sly. This call has officially been recorded, is available for playback. I highly endorse any product Susan markets. Her, if you ever get the opportunity to purchase or see her speak, and she teaches her meditation class, it is absolutely life-changing, and her Organize Your Life courses are also absolutely imperative to your enterprises. I want to thank everyone for being on tonight's call. Susan, one more time, thank you very much.
Love you, Jeffrey. Thank you for having me, and I just wish everyone every success. You know, let's finish the year strong, 112 days. Let's make them count.
You know, one of your students is going to be on next Tuesday night. It's Crystal Lowry is making her debut. She's been in your Organize Your Life course, a first-class professional fitness trainer, model, speaker, world-class athlete, and someone who's going to be our guest next Tuesday night. So thank you very much, everyone. Have a great evening. Susan, I look forward to doing events with you now that you're in the United States. Have a great evening, everyone, and good night.
Good night, everybody.